This is LBC London News.
27 minutes after five right now in the capital here on LBC London News, and US President-elect Donald Trump appears to be backing a claim by WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange that the Russians were not responsible for hacking into the Democratic Party's computer servers. In a series of Twitter messages earlier today, Mr. Trump quoted an interview that Julian Assange gave earlier this week to Fox News, in which he said WikiLeaks had not received the stolen documents from Russian sources. Meanwhile, the first full day of the Republican-controlled Congress in Washington has been dominated by discussion over the future of Obamacare, the president's signature achievement in domestic policy. With me live from Washington is our US correspondent Simon Marks, and I haven't had a chance to wish you Happy New Year, so Happy New Year, Simon.
Happy New Year to you, Chris. Happy New Year to everybody there as well.
What a year I think it's going to be. let's start with Donald Trump's. Well, I suppose you could describe it as increasingly tense relationship with the US intelligence community. They seem certainly to be at loggerheads there, don't they?
Yes, absolutely at loggerheads, and tensions that are being stoked on a continuing basis by Donald Trump on Twitter. I don't know what it's like in your house at 8 o'clock in the morning. Mine is somewhat chaotic, but in Trump Tower, Donald Trump was sitting there tweeting away at 8 o'clock this morning and suddenly suggested, and here's a quote, Julian Assange said a 14-year-old could have hacked Podesta. Why was the Democratic National Committee so careless? He also said the Russians did not give him the info. Julian Assange, of course, being the head of the WikiLeaks organization, holed up in London at the Ecuadorian embassy. He said all of this in an interview that aired on Fox News here in the United States last night. Clearly an interview that Donald Trump watched, because he carried on quoting it on Twitter. Julian Assange on US media coverage, it's very dishonest. Honest, more dishonest than anyone knows, opined the president-elect in that Twitter message. And all of this, of course, is centred on the very, very clear scepticism that Donald Trump is expressing towards claims that the Russians were behind the hacking of the Democratic Party's computer servers during the election campaign last year, and the release of the data that they hacked from those servers via the WikiLeaks organization. Donald Trump further on Twitter claimed that an intelligence briefing on what he described as the so-called Russian hacking was delayed until Friday. Perhaps, he wrote, more time needed to build a case. Very strange, he observed on Twitter. Well, the intelligence community says that's simply untrue. They say that there were no plans ever to brief Donald Trump about their investigation into the hacking of the Democratic Party's computer servers earlier than Friday. And all of this, I think, is really underscoring the fact that Donald Trump is going to have a very tough time in the days and weeks ahead dealing with an intelligence community that unanimously here in the United States believes that Russia was responsible for that hacking attack.
But what happens when the president-elect becomes president and he has to work with the intelligence agencies on a daily basis? We know he's already getting the same briefings as Obama. What's going to happen when they have to start working together?
Yes, I mean, just to clarify, Chris, he's not getting the same briefings as President Obama because he's not receiving the daily intelligence briefing. He is eligible to receive the daily intelligence briefing, but before Christmas, having received one, he said that he couldn't see the point in sitting there every single day and receiving the same intelligence briefing day after day after day. So he told his briefers only to come back if anything changed. That, as you can imagine, raised eyebrows here in Washington, where the daily intelligence briefing has been the way, not just that President Obama has begun his day every morning, but successive U.S. presidents have always started their day getting a briefing on what happened over the past 24 hours from the intelligence communities. So that had already created tension in the relationship. Then the tension was stoked over the last few days by Donald Trump saying, well, hang on a second, second. These intelligence agencies that say that the Russians were responsible for this computer hacking, they're the same people who said that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. How do we know that they are more certain about the information that they have now than about the information that they had at the time when they said Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction, that, of course, we all now know Saddam Hussein did not have? So this is a very tense relationship. It's only going to get more tense, and it's a very open question as to whether he is actually going to be talking to his intelligence briefers every single day once he is sworn into office here on January the 20th.
Well, let's move on and talk about Obamacare. Why is this such an enormous issue for both the Democrats and the Republicans?
Well, it's an article of faith for Republicans. Donald Trump, as you know, ran for election promising to overhaul Obamacare, which was the reform of the healthcare system that President Obama implemented. It's actually not officially called Obamacare. It's called the Affordable Care Act, the ACA. But its detractors tried to tie it very, very firmly to Barack Obama by calling it Obamacare. So Republicans say, look, we were elected on a mandate of doing this. Here's what the vice president-elect of the United States, Mike Pence, had to say during meetings up on Capitol Hill a few hours ago.
The first order of business is to repeal and replace Obamacare. Our president-elect took his case to the American people to repeal and replace Obamacare, and the American people voted decisively for a better future for health care in this country.
So he says, look, we've got a mandate to overhaul all of this. Our voters are expecting it, and it is going to be the order of the day the moment Donald Trump becomes president through a series of executive actions and also through activity up on Capitol Hill. Mike Pence and the Republicans say they are determined to undo what they argue was the damage that President Obama did to America's healthcare system by implementing these reforms. Democrats are furious about all of this. Barack Obama himself has been meeting with Democrats up on Capitol Hill. He's desperate to try and protect this central plank of his legacy. Going to be very difficult for them to do that, given that the Republicans now control both houses of Congress and also, of course, once Donald Trump becomes president, the White House as well. But here's what Senator Charles Schumer, the Democratic Party's leader in the U.S. Senate, had to say about the future of the Affordable Care Act and attempts by Republicans to gut it.
They can't keep all the things that Americans like about the ACA and get rid of the rest without throwing the entire health care system, not just those on ACA, but those with private insurance, into chaos. And we're united in our opposition to these Republican attempts to make America sick again.
Well, they can be as united as they like, but they don't have the numbers, it would seem, to try and head it off. And Barack Obama, despite the bravado behind his visit to Capitol Hill and his talks with Democratic leaders about how to protect Obamacare and other planks of his legacy, he really does have to brace himself, because he knows that once Donald Trump's in the White House, with majorities among Republicans up on Capitol Hill, he will be in a position to dismantle Barack Obama's legacy plank by plank.
And just briefly, Simon, at the inauguration, it's, 16 days away, I believe. Some politicians who were sitting on the fence about whether they might attend or not have made their decisions finally.
They have indeed, and principal among them, a woman by the name of Hillary Clinton.
Oh,
we
remember
didn't know
her.
Whether Hillary Clinton was going to come, whether she was going to bite the bullet and be up on Capitol Hill to observe her erstwhile opponent, Donald Trump, as he is sworn in to the presidency on January the 20th. She will be there alongside her husband, former President Bill Clinton. We're also told that former President George W. Bush, who was no fan of Donald Trump's during the election campaign, he is also going to fly up to Washington from Texas with the former First Lady, Laura Bush. So they have given in to convention. They have agreed to come to Washington for the inauguration of a man that they did everything to try and head off from becoming president. And that gives you a sense, Chris, I think, of the extent to which a process of sort of normalization is underway among the political elites here in Washington, D.C., getting used to the fact that Donald Trump is going to be president, honoring age-old ceremonial precedent. Some people say they shouldn't be doing it. Some people say Donald Trump remains toxic. But certainly on Inauguration Day, that tableau is going to be there.
Yes, and probably slightly awkward in some respects. Thank you to Simon Marks, our US correspondent. We'll certainly be keeping you up to date with Donald Trump, the president-elect's inauguration plans